Hello, word nerds. Welcome to the dictionary. Yeah, it's the dictionary. Hosted by me, Spencer. Today, this morning, is January 24th, 6:59 a.m. Let's talk about the words. The first word is ER. This is a suffix, so it's dash ER. This is the first form. It's an adjective suffix or an adverb suffix. No year, like we often see with the suffixes, there's no year. I don't know why. This is used to form the comparative degree of adjectives and adverbs of one syllable and of some adjectives and adverbs of two or more syllables. And that's the end of the sentence, but we have examples. Examples of the one syllable would be hotter or drier. H-O-T-T-E-R and D-R-I-E-R. And then the other example, it's some adjectives and adverbs of two or more syllables. I don't know why we had to designate one syllable opposed to more than one syllable. Why can't it just be all the syllables together in one category? I don't know. But the examples for two or more syllables are completer and beautifuler. Two words that I don't think, well, I just don't think they're real words. I mean, no, clearly they are real words, but who uses completer and beautifuler? When have those ever been used? Okay, odd examples. It's the form, to create the comparative degree of adjective. So we're comparing hot to hotter. And then, of course, we will get to hottest at some point. The EST section, the ESs, will have the est suffix, the most of the hot, the driest, the completest, the beautifulest. No, we're not talking about the S, we're talking about the ER. This is the next level above hot, dry, complete, beautiful. It's more hot, more dry, more complete, and more beautiful. Okay, I think we talked about that one enough. Let's see, this is from anything particularly interesting? Not really. Okay, we're going to now move on to my sound effect, which is going to be sha-sha-sha-sha-sha. The next word is the second form of the suffix er. This is a noun suffix, and the other ways that you can spell it are I-E-R and Y-E-R. Okay, there is again no year. Number 1A, this is the noun suffix, so we're not describing adjectives or adverbs, this is the noun. 1A, a person occupationally connected with, a person occupationally affected with, and the examples are furrier and lawyer. Furrier, this is not, I don't think we're talking about furries here, that's a whole different thing. I believe a furrier is one who deals with furs, who makes fur coats, something that I personally cannot agree with, but this is a job that exists. It's their occupation. F-U-R-R-I-E-R. And of course, the spelling of this suffix is going to be dependent on the letters that come before it. Furrier. And then the other example is lawyer. L-A-W-Y-E-R. That's where we get the Y. That's one example of where you can use the Y. So a furrier is dealing, their occupation is all about the furs. And the lawyer, their occupation is all about the law. 1B, person or thing belonging to or associated with. And the examples are header and old timer. Header and old timer. A person or thing belonging to or associated with. So an old timer belongs to the group of people who are in their old times. They are associated with the times of yore, the old times. And header. Header? Associated with a head? belonging to a head? What is a header in this situation? I know a header in like soccer or football is when you hit the ball with your head. Well, there's a double header when you got two games back to back. Is that what we're talking about? Person or thing belonging to or associated with? I don't know about that one. Header and old timer. Here's 1C. Native of, and the next part is resident of. A native of a place or a resident of a place, and then you put the ER at the end of the place, as in the examples, cottager, that's with a cottager, and also New Yorker. A cottager and a New Yorker. So somebody who is a native of a New York is a New Yorker, and a person who lives a resident in a cottage is a cottager. I am a co-oper. I'm co-opting. No, that's different. 1D. One that has. One that has what? When, whatever that thing is that it has, that's the first part of the word, and then you put the ER at the end. As in the example, three-decker. A three-decker bus would be a bus that has three decks. My bus, it has three decks. A three-decker. You could also have a house that has three decks. You got a deck on the first floor. You got a deck on the second floor. You got a deck on the third floor. You also got three. You're a three-floorer. Three-floorer, three-decker. 1E. One that produces or yields. One that produces or yields. So what is it producing or yielding? That's the thing we're talking about. As in the example, this is a weird one. Porker. P-O-R-K-E-R. Porker. This word has a lot of different definitions, and I'm not entirely sure what we're talking about here, but my best guess is that one who produces pork yields pork. This is somebody who's, well, cutting up the pigs to make the pork, make the bacon, make the ham. They would be a porker. But again, porker has other definitions. So this is kind of a weird example. I'm sure they could have come up with something else. I mean, I guess you could technically call a pig a porker because a porker pig, because they technically produce and yield, they make the pork when they are murdered. Okay. That's all, folks, for 1E. We're now moving on to 2A. One that does or performs, and the example of what they are doing or performing is a specified action, as in batter. This is not the batter that we like to eat off of the spoon or the mixing things or the bowl. No, this is the batter who is using a bat in baseball, and they're hitting the ball with the bat. So they're a batter. Hey, batter, 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 swing, batter. One that does or performs an action. This is sometimes added to both elements of a compound, as in builder-upper. Builder-upper, they're building something up, so they are a builder-up. They can't be a build-upper. That doesn't make any sense. They can't be a builder-up. It just ends too suddenly. They gotta be a builder-upper. I'm going to be a builder-upper of your confidence. 2B. One that is a suitable object of, and here we again have a specified action. One that is a suitable object of a specified action, and the example is broiler. The broiler is very suitable for broiling things, and that's why we call it a broiler. 3. One that is. That's the whole definition, the whole sentence. One that is. Ooh, that could go very deep and spiritual if you wanted to, but we're not going to go there. The example is foreigner. So one that is foreign to the place that they are currently in. They came from another country. They're in this country. An alien came from all those light years away, and they came to our planet Earth. So they are a foreigner because they are foreign. This is used in all sentences. No, it doesn't say used. Just saying. In all sentences, Y-E-R in a few words after W, I-E-R, in a few other words. Otherwise, it's E-R. I don't know why. Okay, I think this is talking about every single one of those definitions. They're giving specifics on when you use which spelling. So, in all these definitions, you're using Y-E-R in a few words after W. A few words after W, like lawyer. It's not very helpful. I mean, they got to give you something, but if they're not going to list out every single word. A few words after W, then you're going to use I-E-R in a few other words. Just a few other words you're going to use it. Doesn't say, there's no rules, like after these letters you're going to use I-E-R or Y-E-R. Nope, it's more vague than that. But otherwise, and if you're not using I-E-R or Y-E-R, you're just using E-R. Okay. Let's look at the etymology for this one. It looks a little bit different than the other one. This is from Old English, E-R-E, which is from Anglo-French, E-R-E, from the Latin... I skipped a part. So the Old English, E-R-E, is from the Latin arius, that's a suffix, arius, which means partly. I think that's what that means. From the Old French, from the Latin arius, aria, arium, which means the suffix ary, ary, or also means partly, or maybe it just means it's partly from. Oh, that's confusing. Yep, that's it. There's more at the suffixes ary and also or. So those are etymologically related to ER. Okay, I am a podcaster. I'm not a podcastier or a podcastier. I'm a podcaster. And maybe I'm also a YouTuber. And I am working on becoming an actor. That's the O-R, so they're related. Actor, director, producer, E-R. I'm trying to do all these things. Okay, let's move on now to era, E-R-A. You can say era, I don't know the difference between those, or era, era, era. Okay, this is a noun from 1615. 1A is a fixed point in time from which a series of years is reckoned. A fixed point in time from which a series of years is reckoned. My brain doesn't like the way that some of these definitions are written. That's just my brain. I don't know. If I were a kid, if I were 10 years old trying to look this up, I'd be like, what? A fixed point in time from which a series of years is reckoned. You go back 10,000 years. There's an era, that time, there's an era of that time, which is a series of years. Maybe it's 1,000 years. Maybe there was 1,000-year era 10,000 years ago. I don't know. I'm making up numbers. Okay, 1B is a memorable or important date or event, especially one that begins a new period in the history of a person or thing. When somebody dies in your family, that is the beginning of a new era. Or maybe when somebody is born, that's the beginning of a new era in your life, your family's life. A new job is a new era. I think I'm at a place where I'm getting into a new era of my life. I don't know what that is, but as I said, I'm working on these new super projects and things and sort of trying to take my life in another direction. So I think I'm finishing one era and I'm starting a new era. And you know what? Maybe you are too. What's your era? Do you want to tell me? Do you want to leave a voicemail, an email? Tell me. I would like to know. And then maybe I could talk about it on the podcast show. Okay. That was 1B. Now we have number 2. That's how these go. This is a system of chronological notation computed from a given date as basis. A system of chronological notation computed from a given date as basis. A little bit more context would be great, but we don't have the space, so fine. 3A, a period identified by some prominent figure or characteristic feature, as in the era of the horse and buggy. I don't know how many years that era lasted. I think it was maybe 5 years or something. But then the cars came in. The cars took over. They called them horseless buggies because they had no idea what else to call them. Vehicles, automobiles, cars, those are English words that we use. So it's a period identified by some prominent figure. Yes, the most important figure, the most important thing that defined that era was how everybody got around by horse and buggy. Then we got the car era. And now, what era are we in these days? Not just with transportation, but just life. What is the we're getting into the AI era, which I have very mixed feelings about. 3B, a stage in development. That's the whole thing. A stage in development. The example is a person or a thing. A stage in development. So this is just any stage of development for a person or a thing. So when you are a human, and you are growing up, any stage of development, so, you know, the first 18 years of your life, 18 to 25, those are your formative years. That's your formative era. That whole time, you could maybe break that up into shorter eras if you wanted to. And then, you know, 20 to 25 on to, I don't know, it depends on the person, but maybe 30 or 40. That's a whole new era of your life. Typically, for most people, that's like the beginning of your professional life. Could be your whole professional life. A lot of people, you know, start at 20, 25, and their work and their professional life goes all the way to 60 or 70. And then when you get to that age, then you're like, I don't want to work anymore. I'm done. I'm going to start a whole new era. I'm going to start my retirement era. I'm going to start my hanging out. I'm going to start my traveling era. That's a fun era. But you gotta work to get there. Right now, that's the current society plan. I don't know. We'll see where things go. Let's see. Now we have number 3C. This is a large division of geologic time, usually shorter than an eon. Usually shorter? It's not always shorter, usually shorter, okay, as in the Paleozoic era. It doesn't say this, but I believe in the G's we have a geologic timetable. I don't know if it's going to talk about eons or eras or what, but that's going to be a fun one to talk about. I should get an expert on that one. A synonym is the word period. It's just a period of time. A period. From then to then, it's a period. It's an era. This word is from the Lower Latin aera, A-E-R-A, which it means counters. Counters? It's the plural of A-E-R, that's a prefix, or A-E-S, which means copper money. Copper money. And there's more at the word or, O-R-E. How we went from copper money? Oh, no, sorry. It's not copper money. It's copper ore money. Those are two. It means both things. Copper or money. And then it became counters. And then it became just like a period of time. I don't understand that one. Okay. Moving on to era again. But this is all caps, E-R-A, all caps, abbreviation for 1, earned run average. And that's in baseball. And 2 is Equal Rights Amendment. We didn't see, did we see equal? I don't think we saw anything about equal rights. No, there was no thing. So Equal Rights Amendment sounds like a pretty good thing. So maybe I'll put a link in the show notes for Equal Rights Amendment, ERA, if you want to go learn more about that. Because it seems like maybe it's something that we should know about. Next is eradicate. This is a verb. I believe it is just transitive from 1532. One, to pull up by the roots. Ooh, I bet the etymology is going to say something about roots. You're pulling a thing up by the roots. If you pull a weed up, but the roots stay in the ground, you're not eradicating it. The roots can still grow more plants. You got to get the roots out of there if you don't want the thing. Yeah. Number two, to do away with as completely as if by pulling by the roots. If this thing doesn't literally have the roots, there's no roots. This thing has no roots. If you're eradicating rats, rats don't have roots. Rats don't got roots. That's just how they go. But you gotta, if you gotta get rid of the rats, it's like you're pulling them out from the roots. As in the example, programs to eradicate illiteracy. Yes, I would love to eradicate illiteracy. Illiteracy is not being able to read. I am very grateful that I am not illiterate, but some people might be illiterate, and I think we need to eradicate illiteracy. Illiteracy has no roots to speak of, but we can get rid of it as if it had roots. A synonym is the word exterminate. Yep, getting rid of a thing. Eradicable is an adjective that is a thing that can be eradicated. I mean, is there anything that's not eradicable? Eradication is a noun, and eradicator is also a noun. The one who is eradicating, the eradicator is eradicating the eradicable things. The etymology says this is from the Latin verb eradicare, eradicare, which is from the e prefix plus radic or radix, which means root. Of course, we all saw that coming. There's more at the word root. So yes, E, the E prefix here is like taking it out, pulling it, getting rid of it, excising the roots. That's where this word literally comes from. Getting rid of the roots. Next word is erase. Erase, and I guess the British people say erase with a Z, erase. This is a verb from 1605, starting with transitive. 1a, to rub or scrape out. And the example is, what you are scraping out or rubbing out is a written, painted, or engraved letters. Written letters, painted letters, or engraved letters? I don't know how many letters are painted. But, okay, if you have a letter that's painted and you want to erase it, you have to scrape out the paint, rub it out with turpentine. If it's written, maybe you can scrape it out with something. If it's written with a pencil, you can erase it with an eraser. Engraved letters. Engraved in stone? That's going to be a lot harder to erase. You got to do a whole lot of extra work to erase that. The example is erase an error. Erase an error. Oh, I made an error. I want to erase it. I got to get rid of that error. I don't want anybody to know that I made errors. That's clearly not true. I make errors all the time, and I often don't erase them. 1b, to remove written or drawn marks from, as in erase a blackboard. These are so easy to erase. Blackboards, I don't even know how much they exist anymore these days. A blackboard, the chalkboard, you get some chalk, you write on the chalkboard, and if you're done with it or if you don't like it, you're like, I got an eraser, I'm going to erase it, and it's going to go ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. 1C is next. This is to remove from a magnetic medium. The example is recorded matter. You are erasing, you are removing recorded matter from a magnetic medium, like a cassette tape, a videotape, other types of tape. If you put a magnet by them, they might get erased. Also, to remove recorded matter from. What's the difference? To remove from a magnetic medium, or to remove recorded matter from. It's basically the same thing. As in the example, erase a videotape. In the movie Fight Club, these hoodlums, these anti-capitalistic hoodlums, went to a video store and held up big old magnets to all the videotapes, because this was the early days of DVDs, and so there were not so many DVDs. Those are not as easily erased, but you put a magnet up to a VHS, a videotape, and it's gonna erase it. It's bye-bye material, and that's very sad. Let's see. That was erase a videotape. Now we have 1D. This is to delete from a computer storage device, as in erase a file. You know, sometimes you got to get rid of these files. They take up space, and if you're running out of space, you got to erase it. My phone is reaching its full capacity, so I'm going to have to erase a bunch of files. I'm going to copy them off first, and then I'm going to erase them off of my phone device. 2A, to remove from existence or memory as if by erasing. My brain likes to do this just by itself. I don't have to consciously erase things, memories, existences. No, my brain just like, okay, that's going away. You're not going to get that back. That memory, that thought, that whatever, that's gone forever. I think I made a mistake. 1D was to delete from a computer storage device. The one that I just read, 2A, that was 2A, to remove from existence or memory as if by erasing. Now here's 2B, to nullify the effect or force of. To nullify the effect or force of. Oh, there's a big army coming to our castle, and we want to erase them. We want to stop their force, stop their effect. We're going to nullify it, so we want to erase them. There's probably a better example for that one. Here is intransitive, which says to yield to erasure. To yield to erasure. So I guess if you are a little error on a piece of paper and you need to be erased, somebody's coming at you with a big ol' eraser and you're like, ah, fine, just erase me. Just erase me. I'm an error. You don't want me around. That's fine. I yield to being erased. Erasability is a noun and erasable is an adjective. This word is from the Latin verb eradere, which is from the e prefix. Again, it's all about getting rid of a thing. Plus the verb radere, which means to scratch or scrape. To scratch or scrape. So you're scratching or scraping something out. And, you know, of course, this goes back to the early days when you didn't have a fun pink block, a parallelogram, is that what it is? That you could rub on a thing to erase your pencil marks or maybe even your pen marks if it's a fancy erasable pen. But no, you literally had to scrape a thing away to a painting, a writing, whatever it is. That was what you had to do back in the day. So that is now we have, that's why we now have the word erase. Because it's all about scratching and scraping away. Scratching and scraping away. There's more at the word rodent for some reason. Rodent? Well, I guess they scratch and scrape. So maybe people were like, oh, those rodents, as they're scratching and scraping on the things, they must be trying to erase stuff. That's the sound of an eraser, which is our next word. Noun from 1790. One that erases, especially a device, as a piece of rubber or a felt pad, used to erase marks. Like ink or chalk. So many possibilities. Ink or chalk. It's a piece of rubber or a felt pad. And I don't think, well, I have some mechanical pencils over there. I can't reach them. They're over there. And I don't think I have any other erasers close by. That's okay. But they're those little pink nubbins at the end of a pencil. We love our erasers. I don't ever handwrite anything, especially not in pencil, but oh, I sure have used these erasers a lot back in my day when I was a younger person. I was erasing things left and right. You couldn't walk down the street without erasing something. The next word is Erastian or Erastian. Capital E-R-A-S-T-I-A-N. Adjective from 1773 of characterized by or advocating the doctrine of state supremacy in ecclesiastical affairs. Erastian is also a noun, and Erastianism is also a noun. I don't understand what that said. Something about ecclesiastical affairs. Of the doctrine of state supremacy in ecclesiastical affairs characterized by that or advocating that. I don't know. This word is, it's an eponym. Let's use a good word that we just learned. This is from Thomas Erastus, E-R-A-S-T-U-S, who died in 1583 and was a Swiss physician and what is this word? A Zwinglian theologian. Zwinglian. Oh, yes. I was not prepared for this word. Here. Zwinglianism. The Church of Huldrych Zwingli. What is this? It's based on an interpretation of the Bible, taking Scripture as the inspired word of God and placing its authority higher than what he saw as human sources such as the ecumenical councils and the church fathers. Hey, okay. Well, you know, just because it's a fun word to say, let's put a link in the show notes for Zwinglianism, the theology of Huldrych Zwingli. So this guy, Thomas Erastus was a Zwinglian theologian. So he was studying theology, the study of God and stuff, specifically from this the teachings of Zwingli. And then this guy Thomas Erastus was able to start his own whole thing, Erastian. Fascinating stuff. Ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. The next word is erasure or erasure. E-R-A-S-U-R-E. I am sure that this era is great. Noun from 1734. This is an act or instance of erasing. You gotta do an erasure when you have an error that needs to be erased. The rodents are like, I'm gonna do an erasure. The last word. Erato. Yeah, that's it. Erato. Capital E. R-A-T-O. Erato. Noun from 1557. This is the Greek muse of lyric and love poetry. How beautiful. Let's put a link in the show notes for Erato. We will probably see, Eros, I believe that would be E-R-O-S. I would assume that that's going to be in here somewhere. Here we go. Oh, there's a bunch of definitions for Eros. Yes. And a whole bunch of other love-related words in that area. Okay, so yes, Erato, the Greek muse of lyric and love poetry. That's great. It's word of the episode time. We had today, era, E-R-A, eradicate, erase, eraser, Erastian, erasure, and erato. I mean, do I want to pick erase? Erase and eradicate are very similar. They didn't specifically have similar etymology exactly, but they are similar ideas. You gotta erase something, eradicate it. Let's see. Do I want to pick? Let's just pick eraser as the word of the episode. My name is Spencer. I'm an eraser. When I'm doing an erasure, with an eraser. That's fine. Okay, let's talk about a movie I watched, because that's a fun thing I like to do. Let's talk more about movies. Where are we? May-December, I think that's the next one. May-December, it's a very sort of odd meta movie, because it's about an actress, played by an actress, following somebody who is an actress playing somebody else, trying to study what she's like and get to know her so she can play her in a movie. It's sort of odd and weird in that way, and I'm curious. And it's based on real people, and so you'd think that there was actually somebody who did this process in real life, but I don't know, maybe not. But anyway, yeah, it's a really interesting, and I didn't know anything about the real people. Real quick, it's the story of later, like 20 or so years later, an adult woman got into a relationship with like a sixth or seventh grade boy and ended up going to jail and having his baby, and they are now still together. And so it's sort of the story about learning about that, and then, of course, the actress following them and learning about them, and so you sort of get to learn about them through her eyes. And she's got an interesting story because she's trying to become this person. Anyway, it's an interesting movie. Great acting, interesting story. Go watch it right now. Turn off this podcast and go watch May-December. Okay, that is the end of this episode. Thank you very much for turning it on. I sure do appreciate it. Please go write a review or something. That'd be great. This has been Spencer dispensing information and then erasing it. Goodbye.